You see, Jesus being God is worthy of praise. Jesus being God is worthy of worship. And he is in charge. And he's saying, nope, I'm not going to shut him up. I hear it. You're not in charge here. I am. Haven't you read the Word of God? They're going to praise me. And the kids were praising him. Right?
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we conclude our look at a passage that answers the question, who has authority over you?
Yes, Dave, we do, and the way you answer this question will quite possibly reveal your eternal destiny. So let's get right to our passage and turn to Matthew chapter 21, and we'll be looking at verses 12 through 17.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing and teaching, right? Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him is all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. Head over all rule and authority. Indeed, we see that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and this is Peter sharing with the Gentile, Cornelius sharing the gospel as the gospel is moving to Gentiles. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. He's Lord of all. He has authority over everything, right? Romans chapter 10. Let's turn to Romans 10. He's Lord of all. Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? Romans 10, 8. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He's the Lord. And we certainly see this in Philippians chapter 2, because of his being obedient to the point of death, having taken on the form of a bondservant, taking on human flesh. Therefore, God highly exalted and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, the name that Jesus possesses, that's really the way it's written there, every knee should bow of those in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Philippians chapter 2. The reality is Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And to be saved, you got to recognize that. You got to recognize it. He's Lord. You got to confess him as Lord. You got to acknowledge he's the Lord. He's the Lord of all. He's God who took on human flesh, who died for your sins. As you have received Christ, we received him as Lord, Jesus Christ as the Lord, right? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As therefore you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. You received him as the Lord, now walk in him. He's your Lord now. But the difference is he's not a bad Lord. He's not a Lord like your sin lorded over you and like your sin bound you. He's a good Lord. He's a gracious Lord. He's a kind Lord. He's a wonderful Lord, as we will say. So then, how is this passage relevant? We have the humble Jesus who goes into the temple, takes full control. How is that relevant to us? Well, very clearly, Jesus Christ is Lord. He has the absolute right to confront sin, and he did so with his word, by the way, and his actions, and he did so. He has the absolute right to address any area of our lives. We want to address everyone else's lives. Let Jesus address it. Okay, he does it through his word, right? He is the Lord of all. He has the right to tell us how to interact with our government, to tell us to pay taxes, to tell us to work. He is Lord of all. He has the right to tell us how to interact with our friends and family. He is Lord of all. He has every right to address every area in our lives. He is Lord of all. He has the right to address which church we go to. He is the Lord of all. He has the right to address every decision in our lives. He has the right to confront sin in our lives. He is the Lord of all. And so his word gives us his will and his desire, and he has the right. He is the Lord of all. And folks, if you reject his authority, then he will judge you for your sin. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And someday he will make it clear that he is your Lord, even if you reject him. And he'll make that clear as he says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He has the power to send both body and soul to hell. He has the authority to do so. So then, if you're his, God says, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And if you're his, you're going to listen to his authority. He says what he wants you to do. He is Lord. Listen to him. Bow yourself to his authority. Now we fail. We mess up. But confess and get back on track. As you have received Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. He has authority. We so often think about our lives as though we have the authority to figure everything out. We go through our lives without consulting the Lord, without thinking of his word, applying it to the situations in our lives. We'd apply his truth and allow him to be our Lord in a practical sense. Folks, when someone teaches the word of God, it is authoritative. We don't have an option whether we are to obey it or not. Now, we're not perfect. We do fail, but we should desire to obey. We should desire to do so. We will fail, but we confess and we want to get back on track and obey the Lord. So, who has authority over you? Does God's word have authority over you in your life? Is that your authority for life and godliness? What God says by his spirit through his power? The reality is, we need to believe that he is authoritative over us, believe that truth, which he is, and believe that he reveals that authority through his word. And so I ask you, by what authority do you do what you do? By what authority do you do what you do? Do you make your decisions? That's why we want to preach God's word, because thus we can authoritatively hear the truth of his word. We can understand it's from him. Titus chapter 2, verse 15, Paul tells Titus, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Not my opinion, but the word of God. The word of God. So then, who has the authority in your life? Jesus has the authority to condemn sinful behavior. And yet that same wonderful God who condemns sin also came and died for your sins. He gives you the way out too. Same wonderful God. And notice, although he has the authority to condemn sinful behavior, notice in our passage, he shows his divine authority to compassionately heal those who come to him. Back to our passage in Matthew. So he's kicked them all out. He said, this is why I'm doing it. You made it just like it was before the exile. It's a robber's den. You come here, you worship, but you're actually totally corrupt. It's a den of thieves. It's a terrible place. Should be a house of prayer for the nations. You've made it exactly the opposite. He's kicked them out. And then notice in verse 14, this is right after he's kicked everybody out. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Isn't this great? This is something that could easily be overlooked. The blind and the lame came in the temple and he healed them. This is amazing because it's not just miraculous. But if you understood the religious atmosphere of this time, they wouldn't let the blind and the lame in there in that court because they were considered sinful by the Jewish standard. Remember in John chapter 9, the guy that was born blind? John chapter 9, I'll read this. And he passed by and he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, said, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he should be born blind? Basically saying that was the mindset. If someone's blind, this is a sinner. Was it his parents? Did he sin? And so here, there was the mindset of the Jews. And even the Jews show that later on in John chapter 9. They show that. And here, Jesus has kicked out all the hypocrites, and the blind and the lame are coming in, and he's healing them. Isn't that great? It's actually, as we'll see in a moment, it's wonderful. You see, Jesus is a compassionate God, although he is fierce with sin. We need to know what he believes about sin, what the truth is about sin, not what he believes about, what the truth is about sin. And we need to listen because it's very serious. But when we understand it, then we understand the compassion and grace and mercy of our God who died for our sins. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You believe in Jesus, you become a child of God. Jesus would say earlier in the book of Matthew, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my load is light." Yes, Jesus is fierce with sin, and if you reject him, you will find that out. He will judge you, and you will experience the second death. But this same Jesus, who has been appointed the judge over the living and the dead, also died for your sins. And he's compassionate. If you come to him with a humble heart, acknowledging your sin, desiring forgiveness, spiritual healing, he'll heal you. He's a gracious God. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we have this wonderful, wonderful truth. Now notice, at this point, he not only has the authority to condemn sinful behavior and the authority to compassionately heal. Notice what happens. He also defends his authority to be worshipped. Look back in verse 14 again. "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw," notice this, "the wonderful things that he had done." That's the truth of what he'd done, right? The wonderful things that he had done. "And the children who were crying out in the temple saying, 'Hosanna, son of David,' they became indignant." That's furious. "They became furious and said to him, 'Do you hear what they're saying?' And Jesus said to them," yes, isn't that great? "'Have you never heard, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast prepared praise for thyself?" You've got those who were merchandising a relationship with God. They were extorting the people. They've been kicked out. Those who took things lightly and just would make a shortcut to the temple, kicked out, not allowed to do so. And then you have those truly in need who were prevented from coming in through all this extortion and wickedness, coming in and being healed. And when the chief priest saw the wonderful things that he had done. Wonderful things. Kicking out the bad guys. Clearing out that wickedness. Healing those who truly believed in this context that they would be healed by him. Coming in to be healed by him. Do you believe he'll heal you from your sins? Because he died on the cross for you, he will heal you. He'll forgive you. So now we've got these bad guys, chief priests and the scribes. So the chief priest, that was a term used to describe the high priest, the ex-high priest, and possibly the temple people, some of those guys, and even the 70, the Sanhedrin. These were the top religious guys. They were like the guys that ran the country. It was a theocracy. They ran it. They were the chief priests, okay? And then there were the scribes of the people. These were not priests. They weren't from other tribes. However, they were learned in the law. They were the theologians. They were the legal beagles. They were lawyers in the scriptures. And so you have these leaders here. It's the leadership of the day. The leadership of the day hears it. And remember what Jesus said earlier. Look back in chapter 20, what he said about this leadership. Chapter 20, verse 18. "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, and on the third day he will be raised." So guess what? These religious leaders, they are upset. They're indignant. The word speaks of extreme vexation or displeasure. Extreme vexation or displeasure. They're upset. And what are they so upset about? And I love what Matthew says here. We already saw it. They're upset at the wonderful things that he's done. the wonderful things that he's done. And that children were crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna, son of David. They became indignant. Jesus' righteous indignation, casting out those buying and selling, the money changers, those who would just walk through the temple. He was teaching, we see other in the temple doing what was right. He was healing the blind and the lame. And also here, he was receiving worship from children. Here, the children were crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the son of David, and these bad guys became indignant. The term children, paides, speaks of a child, a boy or a girl child, under 13, could be as low as, you know, under 2. When Herod killed all the paides, they were 2 and under. You know, could be young children, could be just children. You know, if you look at a child, you know what a child is, right? There are teenagers and adults, well, they're all adults basically, or there's children, right? And so here in the temple, they are saying, Hosanna, son of David. The term son of David speaks of the Messiah who would come in human flesh in the line of David, the king who would reign forever and ever and ever on the throne of David, son of David. And the term Hosanna means save now. Save now, son of David. And that's what they were saying when he was coming in, but he was weeping over it because you can actually have people who actually are involved in the worship of God who don't know the Lord. You know, Jesus actually said when they were crying out, don't stop them. If we do, the stones will cry out, right? Now, they were involved, but they didn't mean it. They went, Hosanna, son of David, that he would take care of their political problems. But here, they are worshiping the Lord, these children. They are worshiping the Lord, Hosanna, son of David. And the chief priests get hot. They get hot. And they say to him, do you not hear what these are saying? And I love this. His answer, yes. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. Yes. And then he says to them, have you never read? This is a rebuke, a strong rebuke. Have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast prepared praise for thyself? Have you never read this? Don't you know the word of God? Don't you know the word of God? Haven't you read this? Comes from Psalm 8. Have you never read the word of God, which reveals that God in his midst is going to receive praise from children? And these kids are saying, save now, son of David. Save now, son of David. They're praising him in the temple. Wonderful. You see, Jesus being God is worthy of praise. Jesus being God is worthy of worship. And he is in charge. And he's saying, nope, I'm not going to shut him up. I hear it. You're not in charge here. I am. Haven't you read the word of God? They're going to praise. And the kids were praising him. Right? So then, we have Jesus showing his authority as God to be worshipped. And Jesus has authority. And so our passage, verse 17, it says, and he left them and went out to the city to Bethany and lodged there. He went to Mary and Martha's house, Lazarus, I believe, probably, hanging out with them. And so we have an amazing day. Jesus has come to his temple, his house, and there were those merchandising a relationship with God, making a buck off it. They were merchandising it. They were changing money. They were thieves, religious thieves, using it. And it was all under the guise of this structure, this organization of the chief priests and the scribes. It was their enterprise, the Bazaar of Annas. And they've been kicked out. And even those who would even walk through were prevented from doing so, just taking it lightly, taking it lightly, taking his house lightly. Not a good thing, right? And then those who truly in need of healing came, Jesus healed them. And then there was worship of him. So who has authority over you? On a practical basis. When you choose to rebel against the Lord, when you choose to sin, you're taking over his authority. You're saying, I have authority to do what I want. When God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, when you decide to be anxious, now we get tempted and we fall, but we should turn. The word should work in our hearts. We should cast our cares on the Lord. When we decide to hold on to that and go that way, we are rebelling against the Lord. when we do not allow even our irritation to be taken care of by the Lord before we go to bed, do not let the sun go down in your anger, then we are in authority. And we will suffer the consequences of rebelling against His authority. Now, we're believers. God will spank us. But we need to see and understand when at those times we are making decisions under our own authority and not the authority of the Lord. Because the Lord says, don't do it. And so we need to remember that. So who has authority over you? He has authority to confront sinful behavior. He has authority to mercifully heal. His authority to be worshipped and praised. So then, who has authority over you? If you don't know the Lord, if you have rejected His call for salvation, you will find out that He has authority over you. If you're a faker and you pretend to know Him like these bad people here, someday He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. He has authority to kill both body and soul in hell. He has authority to do so. He has authority. So fear God. Let me read this. Actually, Luke chapter 12, verse 4. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more they can do. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Fear the Lord right now. If you're in your sins, you're in a terrible state. But God, the same God who will judge you and cast you in hell, also died for your sins. And if you go to Him as a sinner in need of healing from your sins, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And you will experience His compassion and His mercy and the wonderful things He does for us. And so then we see that in the context of His Son. What about us? Those who are believers, have we forgotten He has authority over all? He has authority to tell us how to relate to our spouses. His authority to tell us where our attitude should be at. His authority to address those things. And we need to confess when we fail. We need to allow His word to change our hearts, that we would willingly and voluntarily align ourselves with His desires. And that's where there's joy and peace. Context of the relationship with Jesus.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that He took on human flesh, that He came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that His work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to Him and ask Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank You so much for Your word and Your Son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who
who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.